Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this another day of service that you have given us. Lord God, we pray this morning that you would open our hearts and our minds to thee, that as we come this hour to enter into a quiet spirit of love with thee, that we may hear thy still small voice. Speak to us through the one who is coming this morning. Give him the strength and the courage that he needs. And help each one of us, Lord, to be ourselves, to search for truth, to search for love, and to search for understanding. Be with us now. It's our prayer in thy name. Amen. I'd like for us now to take our Bibles and look at our scripture lesson for today. It's taken from John chapter 5, and we look at verses 1 through 14. John, the fifth chapter, 1 through 14. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing happen unto thee. must say that this is probably going to be one of the most memorable experiences of my seminary training. Back in November, when the senior class voted on a chapel speaker, I was sitting down here on the front row, being secretary for the senior class, taking notes, ready to find out who the lucky one was going to be. And from somewhere back in the auditorium, I heard a voice say, "Stan Heiser." Well, I think it took me 2 weeks to get over the initial shock of that little voice I heard. And I ask your prayers this morning as I try to bring to you something that might be a little bit different from some of the messages that are presented here in chapel each morning. As I tried to share with some of my fellow students at this time, I felt that there were many students more worthy of this than I, because my responsibilities at the church that I serve is as Minister of Education and Youth. I work as a Children's Director and Senior Citizens Director. And every Sunday morning, I have about 75 children that come to the front of the church to hear a children's story. And it seems like it's gotten to the point now that my young people and our adults enjoy to hear a story from the scriptures. So I hope that the message that I have this morning in a story form will not be something that is too meek and too mild for you. As my professors know, I'm not a great theologian, but I love God. And I love to share Christ with you through story form because it speaks to me in a great way. And I think I'm better able at presenting it this way than I would at 3 points in a poem. So we'll see what happens. This summer, I had an opportunity to meet with a man who showed me that my concepts of Christ and, well, the whole makeup of the whole Bible was kind of childish, immature. Ever since I was knee-high to a mushroom, seems like I had the concept that Jesus was an individual who never really smiled, didn't really have a sense of humor. There was a certain radiance about his face, and everyone who saw him knew that he was something special. But yet, for some reason, throughout the years, I had a pretty hard time relating to this type of individual. This summer at Ridgecrest during Recreation Week, our guest speaker for the morning and evening worship periods was a man who, by the way, was a student of Dean Brown's at Southern Seminary. And his name is Grady Nutt. Grady spoke to us in the morning and evening, and for the first time in, I think, Ridgecrest history, all it took was one individual to take care of both times. There were something like 2,700 young people at the conference this weekend or this week, and they just couldn't get enough of Grady, because he was able to relate to us the teachings of Christ in such a way that it really spoke to us. I spoke to a man who had been a minister for something like 50 years. And after one of the sessions, he came to me and said, "You know, I never thought I'd hear the day when I would admit to a new way of preaching. But man, he really spoke to my heart." Grady had a way of presenting the humanity of Christ that was just great. And if you ever have the opportunity of hearing this man, I hope you'll listen and see if you don't agree with me. Grady said a lot of things during the week that really touched me, but he made a couple points that seemed to stand out above all the others, and I would like to share these with you before I get into the message this morning. This is what Grady said that I think got me going on this. He said, "I think probably one of the things we miss in life as people of the faith, Christian people who are trying to be realistic in our world, living what I believe to be pretty hard times, is the fact that we have a pretty badly distorted image of the way Jesus and his disciples and the whole structure of the Bible was carried on. Somehow we want Jesus and all his work here on earth, for instance, to be the sort of character who walks around town in a brown corduroy robe that he got on sale at Sears, talking old English, as he would say, 'Good morning unto thee, how art thou?'" Now, I suppose if he came up to me and began to talk that way on the shores of Galilee, I, along with James and others of my brothers, if I had been Simon Peter, would say, "Get out of here, buddy." Because I really don't think he was this way. He wasn't this way in his basic living with people. He wasn't the kind of distant, porcelain, unapproachable kind of person that we try to make him out to be. The words, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," loosely translated in Aramaic, would come more close to Will Rogers saying, pulling one ear, "Well, that puts me in mind of a story." Jesus was a great storyteller, and he didn't have to work all week getting ready for his Saturday parable. It was sort of the popcorn in life for him, because he saw truth so clearly. He was an exciting fellow, and what I would like to do this morning is to relate to you a story that I think it puts him in a very believable and approachable manner. It's contained in John chapter 5, 1 through 14. It's the story of the healing of the lame man, which we read earlier. And I think that maybe by the time we get to the end of the story, I hope you will come to this one realization that I have come to, and it's a pretty good saying about what God's love is. And it simply says, God loves each one of us as though he had only one person in the whole world to love, and he loves all of us as he loves each of us. Jesus leaves his Galilean ministry, where he was very popular, to go to Jerusalem for what was probably the Passover feast. He was coming from a place where his ministry was accepted and lives were being saved for his heavenly Father God, to go to his hometown of Jerusalem, where he was likened to a prophet without honor. This miracle that was done by our Lord in Jerusalem is said to have been done at the Pool of Bethesda, which was near the sheep market or gate. The exact location is not known. Neither the precise time nor place concerns us. What is important is the significance of the sign and its relation to the public ministry of Christ. The miracle bore witness to his divine person as the giver of life. I want you to picture now, it's early in the morning, Sabbath morning, about 7 o'clock. It's important to notice here that Jesus is alone. His disciples are not with him. Stories have gone wide throughout the country about this pool in Bethesda, that if you were able to get yourself into the pool while the waters were troubled, you would be healed of whatever ailment you had. As Jesus entered, he looked around and saw that already many people had assembled. They were sitting around the edge of the pool. And then he happened to look up, and coming from the far side down the hill was a man being carried by 4 young men on a mat. Jesus wondered about this man, and he wanted to find out if there were others in amongst the crowd that knew about him. So he saw a man pretty close to him. He said, "Sir, could you tell me something?" Yes, what would you like to know? This man that is coming down here, what do you know about him? Well, sir, he's been here for a long time. And for as long as I can remember, someone has brought him down here every single day. He's unable to walk, you see. And for some reason, he has never been able to get himself into the pool. Jesus thanked the man and went on now to see this individual. As Jesus walked towards this man, who was now seated beside the pool, the man looked up and saw Jesus coming. Now, this man has been lame now for 38 years, unable to support his family. So he's taken up the profession of begging. So I can imagine as he saw Jesus approaching him, he took his cup and kind of shook it a little bit as if to say, "Sir, please help. I have no means of support for my family. Won't you help?" This man didn't realize that right now, what Jesus was about to do for him was far greater than any amount of money that anybody would put in his cup that day. Jesus was a firm believer in getting on eyeball-to-eyeball contact with the man. So he sat down beside him and began to ask him questions. He wanted to know all about his situation that he found himself in. So the man began to tell him his story. He said, "Well, I have been this way now for 38 years. And it seems like every single day that I come here, I hope that I will see the bubbling of the water and I will be able to get in the pool. This morning, my four son-in-laws brought me down. All are good young men. Sometimes they don't understand why I keep coming here, but yet they keep bringing me. I guess they're good. But you know, sometimes I wonder why I even come. For let me tell you, every single time I see the bubbles in the water, I pick myself up and kind of edge kind of close to the water. And just as I'm ready to go in the pool, somebody beats me in. Somebody with an insignificant illness, like a hangnail or a headache or a stomachache, they beat me to it. Nobody helps me get in the pool. I've been here for 38 years watching the water. And I just hope and I pray that someday, maybe I'll make it. For this is the only way I can be healed, is to get in this pool. One day I was talking with my young people about this parable as we were thinking about it and trying to draw the thing up. One young person said, Stan, the 7-Up had been invented. And somebody came up to this man and popped open a bottle, he'd just go berserk at all those bubbles. But you know, it's a shame. This is the only thing that he knew about. He didn't know of any other way he could be healed except to get in the water when the bubbles came. Well, Jesus listened to the story. And with a twinkle in his eye and a smile on his face, Jesus looked at him and asked, Do you want to be healed? What'd you say? Do you want to be healed? What do you mean, do I want to be healed? I haven't been coming to this pool for 38 years for nothing. I haven't sat here and watched people get in here before me and... Wait a minute. You see any bubbles? So he has to look. There aren't any bubbles in the water. What do you mean, do I want to be healed? There aren't any bubbles. How can I? Do you want to be healed? By this time, the man, he didn't understand this fellow. There was something different about him. No man had ever come to him and talked this way. No one had ever been this direct with him, and he began to trust in this man. He saw something different about him. And he said, Yes, I want to be healed. So Jesus stood up and extended his hand to him and said, All right, get up and walk. I don't know what went through that man's mind this time, but he trusted God. Didn't know who the man was, but he said, Well, what do I have to lose? So he put his hands behind his back, pushed his weight up on his hands, and then brought up his right leg, got it underneath his body, then pulled up his left leg, and all at once, he stood up. Now imagine, you're sitting in a class or at home reading the newspaper or watching television and you have your legs crossed. And all of a sudden you have to get up and you realize that your leg has fallen asleep. And it feels like a whole bunch of little pins are being stuck into your leg. Now imagine what it was like for this man. There was no feeling in his legs for 38 years. And now he's standing up on his legs. Must have felt like a whole army of pins in his legs, but it felt great. It was the best feeling this man ever had. So he kind of jumped around on one leg and then jumped on the other, kind of ran around the circle. And then he ran around the pool, yelling to the top of his lungs, Look, I can walk. I've been healed. Isn't it great? Where did you see the bubbles? Why didn't you tell us? There weren't any bubbles, none at all. This man came up to me and said, You want to be healed? And I said, Yes. And he said, Get up and walk. And I got up and walked, and look, I can walk. Everybody talked and talked. They couldn't figure this thing out. No bubbles. Man comes by and says, Walk. They didn't understand it. But he ran around the pool just as happy as could be. He forgot that it was the Sabbath, and he decided he was going to go home and tell his folks about it, tell his family. They wouldn't believe it. I think if the streets were littered during this time, he would run down Bethesda Road, and he lived right below the synagogue on Synagogue Avenue. So he had to run down Bethesda, make a right turn in front of the synagogue to go home. Well, he was just getting it, just happy. You can imagine the joy you would have in your hearts if you were lame for 38 years and finally you find yourself able to walk and go home. And he was just getting it, just running. And probably he was going so fast that his right elbow just about drug the ground as he made the curve in front of the synagogue. And as he turned, he looked up on the steps of the synagogue, and there was a Pharisee. Well, he didn't care. He said, "Look, I can walk. I've been healed. Isn't it great?" Old Pharisee couldn't see the miracle that took place. All he could see was that he was breaking the Sabbath law. What did the Pharisee say to him? "You are carrying your pallet on the Sabbath." "Yeah, I know, but look, I can walk. I've been healed. Isn't it great?" "You are carrying your pallet on the Sabbath. You must be punished." "Yeah, but for 38 years, I've been sitting on the pool. I've been waiting for some bubbles, and I waited for this day. The day I could walk. And now the day came, and I can walk. And all you can say is I'm breaking the Sabbath law because I'm carrying my pallet. And it doesn't matter. I just picked the wrong day to get healed. I don't understand. I don't know who the man was. I don't understand this." He's brokenhearted. He didn't know what to do. He's so full of joy, and all of a sudden, darkness enters his life again. He's going to be punished because he was healed on the Sabbath. He was carrying his pallet. So dejected and hurt, he walks slowly up the steps of the synagogue, goes over and leans across the wall and just cries his eyes out. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know who the man was. All he knew for a few minutes there, he was happy. And now he didn't know what to think. After a little while up there and just completely depressed, he felt an arm come around his shoulder and touch his left shoulder, and he looked to his right, and there was the man again, that man who told him to get up and walk. This time, this man had a humble expression on his face. He looked at him, and the man said to him now, "The same Jesus who healed your lame body is the same Jesus who can now heal your broken heart. Get up and go home, and sin no more unless a worse thing happens to you." The joy of life was restored into this man once again. He now knew who it was who gave him the command to get up and walk. He was happy. He was joyous, and he went home and told his friends and his family. How many of us this morning have hearts that are full of grief and are broken? We have many people in our churches who do not know Christ as a man with a twinkle in his eye and a smile on his face. So many people do not know the wonder of the truth of God, that His love is such that God loves each one of us as though He had only one person in the whole world to love, and that He loves all of us as He loves each of us. As ministers, it is our responsibility to share Christ with our people in different ways from time to time, to let them know that God is a God who loves His man, fellow man. And we have that challenge this morning, to share that gospel with our people. Let them know that God lives and that He truly can live in our hearts. Let us pray. God, lift up the light of Your countenance upon us. Let Your peace rule in our hearts, and may it be our strength and our song in the house of our pilgrimage. We commit ourselves to Your care in keeping this day. Let Your grace be mighty in us and sufficient for us. And let it work in us both to will and to do of Your own good pleasure. And grant us strength for all the duties of the day. Keep us from sin. Give us the rule over our own spirits. And keep us from speaking inadvertently with our lips. May we live together in peace and holy love, and do your command each day. Give us grace to deny ourselves this day, Lord, and let us make our will your will this day. And if there is a sign of darkness in one's life, may we bring light to it through the sharing of your gospel. For I ask it in thy precious name.